Hey, Prime members, you can listen to CBS Sunday Morning with Jane Pauley ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Good morning. I'm Jane Pauley, and this is Sunday Morning. And to begin, a question. How did the mountain lion get to the other side of the road? Increasingly, the answer to that question, and a plus for all kinds of animals, is there's a bridge or tunnel for them to cross safely and uneventfully. This morning, we'll tell you all about a nationwide effort to build critter crossings. But we have more serious fare to share as well. The internet has forever changed the way we look for love. Still, online dating doesn't always lead to happily ever after. Along with the dreamers who do anything for love, there are scammers willing to steal their money or do far worse. CBS News has been investigating this online treachery for months. And this morning from Jim Axelrod, the first in a week-long series of reports.
She was looking for love online, but instead found danger lurking.
I never thought that it could happen to my mom, but it can happen to anybody.
How hard was it for you to set up a fake profile?
It is easy. Mr. Kim.
Ahead on Sunday Morning.
Are you doing enough to protect your customers from online romance scammers?
Our alarming investigation into online romance scams.
Some 30 years ago, an operation gone wrong robbed the legendary Julie Andrews of her ability to sing. Thankfully, it did nothing to her ability to tell a story.
A spoonful of sugar.
Julie Andrews and daughter Emma share a special bond.
People often ask, you know, if you could describe your mom in one word, what would it be? And I say, resilient.
My mom said it to me once. Are you going to go on moaning and groaning? But just be grateful for what you have, and my God, I am.
Later on Sunday Morning, Julie Andrews and Emma Walton Hamilton. Cabaret has returned to Broadway yet again, this time with an Oscar winner leading the cast. Mo Rocca has a front row seat.
When Eddie Redmayne's MC welcomes patrons to his Berlin nightclub, it's an invitation laced with menace.
Is he the danger that we should all be on the lookout for?
He's those people that we meet in life that are funny buffoon-like characters, and then you suddenly realize that you've just been stabbed by them. Yeah.
Come back to the cabaret, old chums, coming up on Sunday morning.
Tracy Smith will give us a read on a much-talked-about novel from doctor and author Abraham Verghese, a story from Steve Hartman, and more. It's a Sunday morning for the 21st of April, 2024, and we'll be back in a moment.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
This podcast is supported by Progressive, a leader in boat insurance. Welcome aboard to Carefree Boating. Here we don't worry about the what-ifs because we explore with Progressive Boat Insurance for as little as $100 per year for a basic liability policy. Progressive also offers a variety of other coverages that can help you cover repair costs when you need it. And with discounts like multi-policy, safety courses, responsible driver, and more, your mind can really float free. Cruise on over to Progressive.com to get a quote today and see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Rate and discounts not available in all states or situations.
All across America, critters are crossing the road, and more of them, Connor Knighton tells us, are doing it in style.
Interstate 90 is the longest interstate highway in the United States. Spanning more than 3,000 miles, it connects Seattle in the west to Boston in the east. But it also serves as a massive concrete divide. For the animals who live to the north and south of the interstate, this road has absolutely wrecked their commute.
Is there a rush hour for the animals?
Yes. They tend to be nocturnal or crepuscular, sort of at dawn or dusk.
Patty Garvadarda is a wildlife biologist with the U.S. Forest Service. Brian White works for the Washington State Department of Transportation. Together, their two organizations have teamed up to develop a network of critter crossings in Washington, overpasses and underpasses designed to provide safe passage for wildlife.
The fact that you have one here and one here, is that because you've identified both of those areas as areas that animals are likely to cross?
Yes, correct.
The crossing project spans 15 miles of I-90 near the Snoqualmie Pass in Washington, flanked by large chunks of what's primarily national forest land, habitat for all sorts of creatures, great and small.
If they're protected on both sides, why does it matter if they're connected?
Because you lose genetic variability, and gradually you start getting localized extinction, and populations get further and further apart and smaller.
Around the country, most animals see a busy highway and turn around. A brave few might try to cross, but they're at risk of getting run over. A wildlife crossing is supposed to make that process far less treacherous. But there's no guarantee that if you build it, they will come.
There's a wildlife corridor sign back there. Is that... That helps, right? That's how the animals figure it out. They just look at that and they're like,
yes.
Oh, okay,
exactly.
I guess
that's,
this
exactly.
is the way to go.
Miles of fencing along the road funnel animals to crossing points. High concrete walls block headlights and dull the traffic noise.
We want to mimic the habitat on either side, native plants and everything, so that animals sort of don't even see the transition.
It worked. In 2023, cameras captured animals using these crossings more than 5,000 times, including mule deer, elk, and coyotes.
When this project started, was there some other example that you were looking at as a success story to model this after?
Well, Banff, Canada obviously comes to the top of the list.
The section of the Trans-Canada Highway that cuts through Banff National Park
has been used as a model for crossings worldwide. Banff's 38 undercrossings and 6 overcrossings have reduced wildlife collisions by 80%. Back in the U.S., there are now around 1,500 wildlife crossing structures in 43 states. In Wyoming, pronghorn run across Highway 191. In Florida, panthers and alligators creep under I-75. They can be subtle. Motorists may have no idea they're driving over moose in Montana or tunnels full of tortoises in Utah. But it will be hard to miss this crossing. Not far from Los Angeles, they're building the largest wildlife corridor in the country.
I really wish it had been the smallest. I could have gotten years of my life back, you know, trying to help raise the money and the public support.
Beth Pratt serves as regional executive director for the National Wildlife Federation in California. Once it's completed in late 2025 or early 2026, the Wallace-Annenberg Wildlife Crossing will stretch for more than 200 feet across 10 lanes of the 101 freeway, which can see up to 400,000 vehicles a day.
I think that's a real miracle that over one of the busiest freeways in the world, you're going to be driving under it and a mountain lion fox might be walking over, or a fence lizard or a ground squirrel may have a family on top. That's a really hopeful project, and we do owe it to P22.
This is P22, the celebrated mountain lion who roamed around LA's Griffith Park. When he was younger, he somehow made it across 2 freeways, only to end up a lonely Hollywood bachelor until his death in 2022.
Oh, P22, all of Los Angeles is gonna miss you.
But even for the mountain lions who can find mates, the dates are a little too close to home. Biologists worry the small population here could soon go extinct.
It's almost certain that the cats over here that are breeding are related to each other in some way.
But somewhere over there, maybe there's exactly. a hot new thing.
You know, think if you were on Tinder and all the matches you're getting are family members, right?
Why do we have to
Icky.
Put that in my
yeah,
head?
Sorry,
The crossing, which is estimated to cost $90 million, will expand the dating pool. That's important for all sorts of critters, even ones who aren't as obviously charismatic. Back underneath I-90, Professor Jason Irwin and his team of Central Washington University students are focused on everything from toads to salamanders.
It's fantastic, and it's really been fantastic to work in a project where they appreciate the little guy.
There are also human lives at stake.
You know, there are parts of the country where traffic safety means installing a new crosswalk at a busy intersection. There are other parts of the country where traffic safety means things like wildlife crossings.
Last year, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg announced a federal grant program awarding a total of $350 million to states looking to build crossings and improve safety. There are approximately 1 million collisions involving large wildlife on America's roads each year, resulting in some 200 human deaths.
If you think about it that way and you think about how many accidents didn't happen, these crossing structures pay for themselves pretty fast.
Brian White has already seen a reduction in collisions where the crossings have been built. Fewer road closures mean faster commutes for everyone.
This is showing the wildlife collisions incidents that we had along the corridor. This is before we started work, before we had the fence up. This is what it looks like now.
Even though the crossing construction in Los Angeles has meant occasional slowdowns and lane closures, Pratt says the public has been able to stay focused on the benefits down the road.
Wildlife crossings are something, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or what political affiliation, people really support them. I think there's very few people who don't get upset when they see a dead animal on the side of the road. So I think that this is something that in a time where we agree on very little, we pretty much agree on wildlife crossings.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Abraham Verghese has a calling as a physician. He also has a passion to write, and many have labeled his latest book a masterpiece. Tracy Smith reads the fine print.
Dr. Abraham Verghese is vice chair of education at the Stanford University School of Medicine. He's actually an expert in bedside manner, teaching medical students about the importance of the human touch. Dr. Verghese is all about the power of connection, here and in his other calling.
A good story goes beyond what a forgiving God cares to do. It reconciles families and unburdens them of secrets whose bond is stronger than blood. But in their revealing, as in their keeping, secrets can tear a family apart.
These words are from the best-selling book, The Covenant of Water, and they're as lush and vibrant as the world they describe.
The book is set between 1900 and 1970 in Kerala, which is a coastal territory in India, full of lakes, waterways, lagoons, backwaters. And in every generation in this particular family I focus on, one or more members drowns.
The drownings are just one of the mysteries in this family's story of a beloved matriarch, decades of enduring love, and tragic deaths that were sometimes excruciating for him to write about.
Did it have you in tears? Because I cried reading it. Did you cry writing it?
Well, every time I came to revise certain scenes, no matter how many times I'd done it, it was tough. It was, losing somebody.
The Covenant of Water is a difficult book to describe in a few words. It's even tougher to sum up the life of the author. Abraham Verghese was born in Ethiopia to Indian parents. His mother was a teacher who taught her boys early on the value of education. Brother George, on the right, is now a professor at MIT. After medical school, Dr. Verghese took a residency in Johnson City, Tennessee in the 80s, where he found a growing number of people with HIV, which at that point in time was fatal. The experience made him want to tell the world about what he saw and the people he met.
A lot of their messages were, don't postpone your dreams. Life's too short to postpone the things you want to do to others. One day this might transpire. And so all those things kind of came together at that moment. And I was going to write this book.
You had to write this book.
I had to write the book.
So in the winter of 1990, he put his medical practice on hold, cashed in his retirement, and moved his young family to the University of Iowa and their acclaimed writing program.
But I tell you, if you do that, it makes you take yourself seriously as a writer. So I could no longer say, I'm dabbling in this stuff. I mean, I was all in.
Yeah, you committed.
I was.
The resulting book, My Own Country, was a sensation. A subsequent novel, 2009's Cutting for Stone, spent 2 years on the New York Times bestseller list. But his second novel, The Covenant of Water, was closest to his heart. It was inspired by and dedicated to his mother, Mariama, who died in 2016.
Yeah, the inspiration was very much my mom and the strong women around my mother, such as her mother-in-law and her mother. You know, these were sort of heroic women who lived quiet lives. The world would never know about their heroism. The world would never know how much tragedy they went through.
Their story spans three generations, and there's a lot to keep track of. So he used these whiteboards to keep it all straight.
How does this help you form the story?
You know, I think it was really not helpful in the way people imagine, where it was like a architectural plan. I think this was me sort of beginning to see the characters, to visualize them for myself.
And after 10 years, he finally got The Covenant of Water published. And then a form of literary lightning struck.
Welcome to all the book club members who are watching us on Oprah Daily. I am thrilled for this conversation.
Oprah called you to give you a heads up that she was choosing your book.
I hear this beautiful, resonant voice, melodious voice, saying, "Hi, this is Oprah." And I stood up because I have the most tremendous respect for her.
You stood up.
I stood up. I mean, I don't know of anybody else in our culture that has brought more readers to books.
This speech goer said she had the Covenant Water on her TBR list. Well, I made it easier for her and gave her a copy.
Not only did Oprah choose his book, she physically handed out copies of it, and she plans to make it into a movie. And Oprah's not the only big fan. It was on former President Obama's list of favorite books from 2023.
I've been incredibly lucky, I must say. I don't know that I can point to it being all my skills, certainly not. You need a lot of luck when you produce a book.
What do you think your mother would make of all of this?
I think my mother would be delighted. Our parents are not particularly demonstrative in the things that they say in terms of praise, but I think she would have been very pleased.
And if writing is Abraham Verghese opening his heart to the world has answered in kind.
It's lovely to meet you. I love your work.
The book stayed on the New York Times bestsellers list for 37 weeks. The story, inspired by his mother, has taken on a life of its own, something even the esteemed doctor finds hard to explain.
It's amazing. It's a bestseller in Italy, South Africa. You know, when I hear these things, I don't know what to say. You know, when I get these pieces of good news coming to me. For example, you know, CBS Sunday Morning is going to be talking to you. It feels beyond me.
What do you mean?
Well, it's just, I did something, but I didn't do the whole thing.
It's bigger than you.
It's bigger than me. Yeah.
Money makes the birds go around, the birds go around, the birds. Money makes the birds go around.
That's Joel Grey and Liza Minnelli in the classic film version of the musical Cabaret. Mo Rocca reports the show's back on Broadway, its message still resonating more than half a century on.
In 1966, when the musical Cabaret first appeared on Broadway, audiences were dazzled and disconcerted by the show's depiction of life in early 1930s Berlin. Joel Grey played the MC of the Kit Kat Club. He would reprise the role in the Oscar-winning 1972 film version, welcoming patrons to
leave your troubles outside.
But it's an invitation laced with menace, since waiting in the wings is the horror of the Nazi Third Reich.
The Cabaret is a place of hope. And I think it's why all of these really extraordinary beings descend on it. And how that hope is dashed and broken and destroyed.
Is Cabaret a warning?
For me, it is. It shows the hope, the joy, the aspiration, but it shows how progress can be taken from you and we can regress.
In the brand new production, renamed Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club, opening this weekend on Broadway, Gail Rankin plays funny, flighty, live-for-today singer Sally Bowles.
Life is a
role immortalized
cabaret, old chum,
by Liza Minnelli in the movie.
Come to the cabaret.
I started thinking about Liza the other night, and I was like, stop it! Reversing maybe this time, I was like, I honor you, I honor you, I honor you. I have to go on stage now.
And a serpentine Eddie Redmayne seduces the crowd as the MC.
And every night, beneath where you're standing, I sort of emerge from down here, and that iconic drum roll. Mm. I stand in the bottom waiting to be rocketed up to the stage. And it feels like going to the guillotine. And then just as it starts to rise, something euphoric happens.
Welcome.
Both Rankin and Redmayne have been to the cabaret before. She in a supporting role in the 2014 revival starring Alan Cumming, Redmayne, an Oscar and Tony winner, in the 2021 London staging of this new production. But his connection goes back even farther.
You've had a long-term relationship with this show. How old were you?
I was about 14 or 15 years old. I was at school and I was cast as the MC, and I'd never listened to cabaret. So that was my introduction to it, and something in that experience struck me. I don't come from a very theatrical family. My parents were always beautifully supportive, but from an early age, I was like, this is what I want to do. And my parents were like, okay, but we hear all the statistics about actors being out of work, and I don't know, is this the thing? And I'll never forget that after they came to see my school production of cabaret, they were like, go for it.
Really?
You may have noticed that the three of us are surrounded on all sides by seats.
It needs to feel different. It needs to kind of shake us up and take us to a different world. It needs to sort of let us forget where we are and who we are.
In a radical reimagining of the August Wilson Theater, designer Tom Scutt ripped out the old stage and added seating to create a nightclub in the round.
Oh, that's an interesting point.
Yeah. This correspondent can attest it's a very big deal.
This can only happen if you are witnessing other audience members going through the same thing as you, the same feelings that you are. I think the more we can do that, the better.
We were there when the cast saw the reconfigured theater for the first time.
Absolutely.
Well, I can literally touch people. This is fantastic. We can come in, we can say hi. We can walk amongst everybody.
Even getting to your seat in this production is an experience.
This is what we're calling the vault bar.
Rather than enter through the theater's front doors, denizens of this Kit Kat Club walk in through the side for a show before the show.
You get taken into these cavernous bars and you pass performers, musicians, with the idea being that once you enter the theatre, the space we're in now, the theatre proper, you have genuinely left all your troubles outside. You're in Weimar, Germany.
They're lulling you into a feeling that makes you understand just how evil the evil is.
Lulling. Boom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Two-time Tony winner Bibi Neuwirth plays Fraulein Schneider, the Gentile owner of a boarding house, who falls in love with a Jewish man.
If you bought me diamonds, if you bought me pearls,
and then faces a terrible decision.
Roses, like some other gents might cling to other girls.
There's darkness and there's light in everything. And in this show, there is light and there's horror as well.
Why does cabaret keep coming back?
The first answer is the music, yeah. Because it's just glorious.
Maybe this time I'll win.
That glorious score is by John Kander and Fred Ebb.
It's also sadly timeless because it is also a story about encroaching evil and what do we do in the face of it? Do we recognize it? Do we acknowledge it? Do we fight it?
Even in the happiest moments,
yes.
It's there, right?
Yeah, that's right. You can feel it just beyond the theater's doors. Just outside, there are rumblings.
The musical Cabaret turns 58 this year.
I'm the only mania.
Original MC Joel Grey recently visited the theater to celebrate his 92nd birthday and confer his blessing on Eddie Redmayne, Gail Rankin, and the rest of the company. They hope to welcome many more patrons to their club.
Oh my gosh. Wait until my mom and dad come over.
Wait.
They're so excited. My dad, I remember saying, like, I spoke to him the other day, he's like, I just hate the fact that you're over in New York and I could be there every night. He said,
that is so very sweet.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite gripping investigations ad-free? Good news! With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/adfreetruecrime. That's amazon.com/adfreetruecrime to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
For months now, our CBS News investigative unit has been exploring the dark, dangerous side of online dating. The results of their exhaustive inquiry will air all this week, starting now. Here's correspondent Jim Axelrod.
She had all these buckets full in her life. My mom did. But there was this one bucket that was missing, and that was a male relationship.
3 years after Kelly Gao's father died from cancer, her mother, 57-year-old Laura Kowal, a retired hospital executive, decided she was ready to start dating again.
My mom was actually very specific about wanting to do online dating. It allowed her the opportunity to have more control of what she was looking for in somebody, and it felt safer.
After going online, Laura found what she thought was true love on Match.com. She fell hard for a man named Frank. A self-described Swedish businessman, his profile included this stolen photo.
October 4th, 2018, she meets Frank over email. Smart, shrewd, savvy woman. 12 days later, telling someone she's never met, "You have my heart forever."
Clearly, my mom felt the emotions of feeling loved and having companionship just through email. And I know there's a lot of people out there saying, well, how could that happen?
That's right. This lonely-hearted retiree who sought safety as she started dating fell for a man she never met face-to-face. Which is why, in the summer of 2020, Kelly was relieved that Laura's online romance seemed to have run its course.
And I'm calling in regards to your mother, Laura Kowal.
Until she received an alarming call from a federal agent.
Who may have been involved in a fraud scam as a victim.
I called my mom, and I immediately knew there was something legitimate to this.
What are you thinking?
I knew it had to do with Frank.
Kelly rushed to her mom's home in Galena, Illinois.
It's not like she'd planned to leave, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Calling the police when she found the house empty.
Effie was just laying on the couch when I got here.
Except for her mom's dog, Effie, who never left her side.
I just don't know where she would have gone.
She started looking for clues, sifting through bank records, and discovering her mom had wired Frank about $1.5 million. Just about everything she had.
I think as I went through and started uncovering this, I just became almost sick at just the depths of all of it.
In the last year, 2023, our best estimate is losses in the range of $1.3 billion related to romance scams alone.
$1.3 billion.
And that represents an increase from about $500 million in 2019.
Arun Rao runs the Consumer Protection Branch at the Department of Justice, which investigates online romance scams.
It's been a rapid rate of increase, but we believe that is also substantially undercounting the true extent of the problem.
Undercounted because people are wrapped in shame and embarrassment, and so they may not actually go to law enforcement and report it?
That's right. They may be embarrassed that they have been victimized in this way. They may be afraid to tell their friends or family.
They come from all walks of life. It's all ages.
All education levels?
All education levels. Doctors and lawyers to ditch diggers.
Even though retired U.S. Postal Inspector Natalie Rita saw it many times, it never failed to stun her how the heart overruled the head.
When you're signing up, there are banners and warning signs that say, don't ever send money to somebody you don't know.
Ron wants your money. Don't send it. The person pretending to be Ron is a scammer.
So people run right through the stop sign.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
As Laura drew closer to Frank, her family grew suspicious. And for good reason. As federal agents would eventually discover, Frank's photos were of an unsuspecting Chilean doctor, and his emails would be traced not to Sweden, but here, to Ghana.
You need to be very good in building the trust.
We spoke to a former scammer who called himself Emmanuel.
Actually, you need two things. You need to establish trust, and you need to exploit their hope.
That is it. So when we are able to do that, then we start extracting money from them.
Ghana and nearby Nigeria are home to thousands of scammers operating with impunity. They're called Yahoo Boys by religious leaders who seem to condone their crimes.
Many Yahoo Boys, Yahoo Girls, Yahoo Man, Yahoo Woman are going to make heaven.
Emmanuel describes sophisticated teams with specialists who could impersonate accents and harness technology to mask their location.
How hard was it for you to set up a fake profile on the sites like Match.com?
It is easy.
In a 2019 lawsuit, the Federal Trade Commission alleged that as many as 25 to 30% of Match.com members who register each day were using Match.com to perpetrate scams. 25 to 30%. Match Group told us in a statement, "We believe the FTC allegations have no merit."
Mr. Kim, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Jim Axelrod from CBS News.
After 6 months of asking Match.com's parent company to discuss this, we finally approached Bernard Kim, the CEO of Match Group, the largest online dating company, which operates apps including Hinge, OkCupid, and Tinder.
We've been talking to a bunch of scammers, and they say they're having absolutely no problem setting up fake profiles.
We're working really, really hard every single day to make sure that people are authentic.
I was talking to the head of Match.com, the man who runs it. And he said to me, making sure people don't get scammed, that's our top priority.
I think maybe he's not aware of what is really going on Match.com. Maybe he might think he had that security on Match.com, but people have their way around it.
It's easy to get around it.
So easy to go around it.
Match Group says it spends $125 million annually on trust and safety. Prosecutors do pursue cases against the scammers when they can find them. In Laura Kowal's case, they trace some of the money she sent to scammers to three people in Chicago who have been charged with wire fraud, including this woman, an American military veteran and postal worker named Jennifer Gosha.
I thought we were in a relationship, and I thought we were going to build together and have a life together, and it turned out that wasn't the case.
Gosha pleaded not guilty and told us she's not a criminal, but a victim who was coerced into helping Laura's scammers, saying the Nigerian co-conspirator she was dating used her to help launder money scam from others.
Do you ever think to yourself, I played a part in someone's life being ruined?
I have thought that many, many times. And I didn't play a part in it knowingly.
If convicted, Gosha could face up to 30 years in prison. She claims she didn't make a single penny from any alleged scam.
I am not someone who decides at 52 years old, after all I've accomplished in my life, now I'm going to become a criminal mastermind.
Kelly spent weeks reading hundreds of emails between her mother and Frank as she untangled their relationship. And just like Jennifer Gosha's claims about the man she was dating, Frank had started teaching Laura how to help him move money. It's a harrowing new twist to online romance scams. Laura Kowal was now an accomplice, becoming what law enforcement calls a money mule.
They go and they open bank accounts at financial institutions. Most of the time, the wire transfers into the bank accounts are the proceeds from other romance fraud victims.
James Barnicle, the head of the Financial Crimes Division of the FBI, says this is next-level victim exploitation.
They're committing a crime at that point. So they've opened a bank account illegally under false pretenses. That's bank fraud.
Laura went so far as to set up fake dating profiles that ensnared more victims.
There were some emails where she said, I'm not comfortable doing this, saying that she's uneasy about this. It just really saddens me that it got to that point that ultimately she was participating in illegal behaviors.
Oh, I love you, honey.
With her mom still missing, Kelly found one more clue, a haunting note.
Kelly, you have kept me going this long. I love you. You were right in your judgment of me. I've been living a double life this past year. It has left me broke and broken. Yes, it involves Frank. I tried to stop this many times, but I knew I would end up dead.
2 days after she disappeared, Laura was found dead in the Mississippi River, almost 250 miles from her home. Kelly has spent the last 3 years desperately trying to find out just what happened to her mother, retracing the last hours of Laura's life from Illinois to Iowa to Missouri.
My heart is just extremely heavy that she died this way, and this is where she was found.
Laura's death was ruled a drowning, not a suicide. Kelly thinks about her mom's last note and believes she was killed. She drives the miles between her mom's home and where Laura was found, hoping to solve the mystery.
I never thought that this could happen to her, but I'm sitting here today as proof that this could happen to anybody.
The criminals who did this to your mom,
mm-hmm.
We're sitting here because of them.
And I have so much anger towards them. Because I look at my life now and my mom is missing out on all of that. They took so much away from me. They took everything away from her. My family will never get that time back.
MassMutual knows that finances can lead to uncomfortable conversations.
What about that guy who's always trying to get you to invest in his business?
His last idea was generating power with electric eels.
Oh, what about Uncle Paul?
You mean Uncle Audit? How about that coworker who retired early?
She's off the grid, so unless you send a carrier pigeon.
What about,
According to the Financial Educators Council, 39% of Americans don't have someone they can ask for trusted financial guidance. Go to massmutual.com today. Feel comfortable about tomorrow.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Bloomingdale's, Sephora, and Kiehl's. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use. And you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers. And Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
The love between mother and child knows no bounds. And if you need proof, here's our Steve Hartman.
A lot of kids in America want to run a lemonade stand, but not many feel like they have to. 7-year-old Emery Johnson started her business a few weeks ago after a terrible nightmare morning.
I woke up with the worst news of my life.
Emery's mother, Carly, died unexpectedly at the age of 29. She was a single mom and Emery's everything.
We go see mommy.
Which is why she couldn't understand, first time she went to the cemetery with her grandmother Jennifer, why everyone else got giant granite headstones, but her mom, just this tiny metal one.
Did that bother you?
Hmm.
Why?
Because it felt like she was being left out.
Her grandma tried to explain how they couldn't afford a headstone right now.
She had tears in her eyes and wanted to help.
So she did the only thing that she could think of to raise money.
Yes.
I made a lemonade stand.
A lemonade stand to pay for her mother's headstone. At first, She didn't make mention of her cause.
Thank you.
But word got out.
Thank you.
And before long,
thank you.
Emery says it seemed like just about everyone here in Scottsboro, Alabama was thirsty for lemonade. The price was $1.
Thank you.
But she says people liked it so much.
How many cups do you want?
They often paid more.
Thank you.
The most that we got for one cup of lemonade was $300.
For lemonade?
Yeah, for one cup.
Whoa! So far, Emery's lemonade stand has raised more than $15,000, which will all go into savings because a monument company is now donating the headstone. But more importantly, Emery has taken that lemon life handed her and squeezed out hope.
Her comment was when all these people came, she couldn't believe so many people cared for and loved her mommy.
They always say it takes a village to raise a child, but sometimes it also takes a village to mourn a mom. Folks around here take that role seriously, offering Emery comfort by the cupful and all the love she can drink.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment, no maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or to proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Also, baby, the jazz hot may be what's holding my soul together.
It's Sunday morning on CBS, and here again is Jane Pauley.
That's the legendary Julie Andrews in Victor Victoria back in 1982. All these years later, at age 88, she's neither lost track of where she came from nor where she's going.
A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine.
Mary Poppins was Julie Andrews' first film. Her second was The Sound of Music. If she had never made another movie, she might still be one of Hollywood's most endearing and beloved stars.
Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes.
And generation after generation would still be singing along.
White winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things.
Though that was just the beginning of a career literally in its eighth decade, it's a very good place to start. Because now, Julie Andrews is a writer of children's books with co-author and daughter, Emma Walton Hamilton. Their latest is a story of the theater from the perspective of a duck.
Mr. and Mrs. Puddle Duck were expecting their first clutch of eggs.
Waiting in the Wings, your latest book, is a true story?
Yes. Some years ago, here at Bay Street Theater in Sag Harbor, we happened to notice that a pair of ducks were nesting in a planter in our courtyard out front.
Soon, an altogether different sound filled the air. A pleasant, melodious one coming from inside the building.
we
And, of course, our ducks in the book are theatrical ducks, very much so. They hear music.
Well, one of them is. Mr. Puddle Duck, in our version of the story, sneaks into the theater.
Waiting in the Wings is the 35th book by this prolific partnership, a collaboration that has given Julie Andrews a new voice. 30 years ago, a surgical procedure went horribly wrong, destroyed her famous soprano, and took her identity.
I should say that one day I was bemoaning my fate and missing very much the fact that I couldn't sing because the surgery went awry and took away my ability to do what I love to do. And so I was bemoaning my fate to Emma, and she said, "Oh, Mom, you've just found another way of sharing your voice." And I tell you, it hit me so hard what she said, and I've never really bemoaned it since.
Sounding a lot like a younger Julie Andrews.
When the Lord closes a door, somewhere he opens a window.
And there are some other intriguing parallels.
Both Maria and Mary Poppins must win over skeptical children. They are all about fun, but not all about fun. They are sly teachers. They are optimists.
Yes, they are.
But they recognize that children have real problems.
You're absolutely right, and I think you and I talk down to
No, children. We don't talk down to kids. We don't. We try to bring them up so that you don't condescend in any way.
She's loved books since she was a child.
Waves of Nazi planes swarm westward.
Though born in 1935, her childhood memories include air raid sirens.
Londoners take to shelter.
And running for cover during the Blitz, the German bombing of London during World War II. Her parents had already split up. It was her stepfather who discovered her voice. A 9-year-old soprano with an astonishing 4-octave range. And little Julie became part of her parents' musical act on the vaudeville circuit. Before long, she was supporting the family.
You were paying the mortgage.
Yes, I was eventually, yes.
As a teenager.
Yes.
The family mortgage.
We needed cash dreadfully. So eventually, when I was about 15, I went out on my own, all around England, around and around and around.
But with the responsibility that your family needed a roof over their head.
Job
to do it.
Well, I was part of the family trying to do it, but eventually it was just me because my stepfather was an alcoholic, sadly.
So all that work and all that training, very serious training, you weren't reaching for the stars.
No, in fact, doubting that I ever would. I mean, I was doing it because it helped and I had to. In my teens, I would think, what is all this for? Where's it going to lead? And then suddenly the world broke open.
At 19, she was cast as the lead in a Broadway show. A 10-year veteran of the stage and a trained vocalist, but she was not quite ready.
I didn't have acting lessons or anything like that. I picked it up and learned, and people are very kind. And, you know, they don't hurt puppies, actually, if you know what I'm saying. And I was a puppy, and I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but I learned and was grateful for all of the teaching that I got.
I could have danced all night.
Still a newcomer. At 20, she created the role of Eliza Doolittle, opposite veteran Rex Harrison in Lerner and Lowe's 1956 smash hit, My Fair Lady.
In my own little
The following year, she starred in a CBS production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella on television. 100 million Americans saw Julie Andrews for the first time.
In short, they're simply not.
In 1960, she was Guinevere to Richard Burton's King Arthur in Camelot. But when Walt Disney was in the audience one night, he saw his Mary Poppins.
Chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chim cheree. When you're with a sweep, you're in glad company.
It was an Academy Award-winning performance.
Julie Andrews and Mary Poppins.
In her very first motion picture.
Oh, this is lovely. I know you Americans are famous for your hospitality, but this is really ridiculous.
She still radiates grace and gratitude, but in the very British tradition of getting on with things.
I just feel most of my life that I've been so very, very fortunate to have the identity of a singing voice, to have the opportunities to learn about how to be on stage or film or whatever.
You were very fortunate, and you were also very unfortunate in some ways. You know, growing up in the war with alcoholic parents and being put to work at a very young age and being essentially robbed of a childhood.
Feeling needed and vital and valuable, yeah, too, yeah.
But her mantra has always been, are we lucky or what? That's the, I think, whether or not it's true,
yeah,
it is the thing that got you through.
Perhaps I had a wicked child.
When Maria, in The Sound of Music, she's fallen in love and he's in love, and it's the, and she sings the song that includes a line.
So somewhere in my
In my youth and childhood,
I must have done something good.
Well,
somebody must have, because I got so damned fortunate. Are we lucky? Or what?
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Please join us when our trumpet sounds again next Sunday morning.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to CBS Sunday Morning with Jane Pauley ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm Mo Rocca, and I'm excited to announce season 4 of my podcast, Mobituaries. I've got a whole new bunch of stories to share with you about the most fascinating people and things who are no longer with us. From famous figures who died on the very same day to the things I wish would die, like buffets. Listen to Mobituaries with Mo Rocca on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.